The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your host,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea.
And
address, and so I won't ever be listed. First of all, I'm going to address the fact of Larry Zbyszko and Baby Doll and tell the world out there throughout this country that Dusty Rhodes has never, ever done anything wrong to tarnish the name of the American Dream. If you have documents, if you have photos, if you have clues and evidence, if you will, to say that Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, has ever stepped over the bounds, if you will, then, Baby Doll, prove it. And Larry Zbyszko, if you want the United States Heavyweight title, you have to come get it. Secondly, now, the Road Warriors, my brother Animal, come out here and talk in a different tone. And got right down in your living room and told you what's going to happen to the Powers of Pain. So Powers of Pain, you better take that to the bank, because when Animal said and Hawk said, then it's a true fact. And then Ric Flair come out here knocking my public. He come out here and he be talking about the way people look, the way they are. And he's over here and he said, well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the dens of lions. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night. Because I'm not a put inside either. You know what I'm talking about? When you knock them, you're knocking me. And let me tell you something, Daddy. I can buy and sell you, Ric Flair. And that's the bottom line. And the other bottom line is, in this wrestling world, I am 3-time World Heavyweight Wrestling Champion. That's the bottom line. And the other bottom line is, I am the current Bull of the Woods, if you will. And that makes me the baddest of them all. So, J.J. Dillon, you say you're going to listen to Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and Dusty Rhodes and look at us close because you don't know what's going to happen. I tell you what's going to happen. Total destruction is going to happen tomorrow night in the Omni. And anybody that don't believe that, they better be coming like it is going to be for the weak of heart. The weak of heart, if you will. So now I want to say something to my sister in Houston, Texas. Because Ric Flair, my sister, is 6'2 and weighs 280 pounds. And if you're speaking of fat women, you're talking about my sister. And she'll come out here and clean your clock. You know what I'm talking about? And turn around and say, man, that was awful good, but it wasn't long enough. You know what I'm talking about, Ric Flair? To be a man, you got to beat the man. Dusty Rhodes is the man. He is the tower of power. He is too sweet to be sour. He is the rap master. There is no other. There is no equal. The man that built the Omni is Dusty Rhodes. Ole Anderson, Lex Luger. Tomorrow night, let's get funky like a monkey, baby.
There's no more to say. We'll be back right after this.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ!
and gentlemen, boys and girls. No boys and girls. Yeah, boys and girls. Why not? The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the most valuable heavyweight primate, the impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, and I'm joined by...
Kid Human himself, the fat back with the way back.
That's right. You know what? I didn't have your soundboard up. I'm sorry about that, because I was playing That's this good. Fucking Jadakiss shit. Hold on a minute here. Let me just lower that. One day I'm going to have like a real studio. I'm going to have like one day when I'm rich. That's never going to happen, but anyway.
Scott!
What's going on, brother?
You know, it's been a rough week at work. Rough week all around. You know, Monday and Tuesday were bad at work. It's just long days. Wednesday, a friend of mine passed away. Yesterday was just one of those days where you just want to tap out. And at least today is good. Today was a good day. Nice and relaxing at work, and then come home, chill out. And then we get up on the show tonight. I'm hyped for the show. Got a lot of news to cover. Good throwback tonight.
Yeah, and then I fucking, 40 minutes ago, I go to log into my Skype, and it's been hacked. And my credentials are fucked. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, because the phone number that's for the show is connected to it. And there's no, like, 1-800 number for Skype. You have to email them, and they blocked me out for 24 hours. So I just made a new account. It kind of looks cleaner anyway, so maybe I'll just stick with this and try to switch over to credentials. But yeah, a lot of loss this week. I had a death in my camp too. Scott and I were talking about it over the phone. It's just weird how 6 degrees of separation. Talk to people, you don't talk to people. People go, you haven't seen them for a while. Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have an outlet. We could do stuff like this and get our minds off of it. Because you are listening, I forgot to mention that, to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on Rant EM Radio, part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. How am I sounding over there? Am I sounding right to you?
Sounding good to me. Sounding good. Chat room, you hear them good?
Chat room, hello. I see Greg. I see Zaniac. Oh, this is Zaniac and Greg Jones and a bunch of other people in there. Hello, how are you? Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Like Kid Human,
anonymous users.
I wish I had double-digit fucking listeners like the other shows do. I guess nobody likes us. I don't know. Maybe it's a time slot. I don't know. I get old, like, not defensive, but I get all like, worried that nobody wants to listen to the show. But, like, I click on the other shows and have, like, double-digit listeners.
Download numbers are good, though.
Oh, download numbers are always good, because we have people all over the fucking planet listening to us, which I really appreciate. We're getting a lot of feedback on social media as well. So the transition to Kid Human was a good transition. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's digging the stuff, and we really appreciate that from the bottom of our souls. We really do.
Thank you all.
Yes, thank you very much for everything. A lot of stuff going on. Like Scott said, we have a ton of news. I got a soapbox and a half I'm going to get on, because I'm about to put some people on blast. Because, like I've always mentioned, the show is an extension of me. And when I don't like something, I just come out with it, and I piss you off, or you like how I sound. Or, you know, sometimes I sound funny when I do it. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to get a point across. But I'm really fucking pissed off. I was pissed off this whole week, like between work and, you know, and then bullshit on social media, on the page, on the rant page, like, you know. So I'm gonna get on my soapbox, say my piece. And keep them moving. But before we do that, we have a ton of news to get into. And we have a pretty cool throwback for you. So, Scott, this is your cue, baby. Take it away.
All right. We're going to start off with something we normally don't cover. But because it's Brock Lesnar, we're going to cover some UFC news. It's all concerning Brock Lesnar, of course. It was brought to their attention that Brock Lesnar did not have to pass a drug test for his fight. And Mark Hunt spoke out about that. He said, in quote, "I don't think that's fair. I think it's a load of bullshit. It's rubbish. I don't think anyone should be exempt from testing. If you're trying to clean up the sport, mixed martial arts, this is a bad way to do it. I don't care who you are. It's ridiculous." Now, this is the part that got me. I wouldn't be covering it. But he said, "I think he's juiced to the gills," talking that Brock Lesnar's juicing up. I still think I'm going to knock him out, so I don't think that's correct. I don't think he should be allowed to get a four-month exemption. Otherwise, everyone else should. Otherwise, I should start juicing too. But Kevin Ioli then reported the next day that Lesnar has indeed been drug tested by the UFC. So the USADA did go ahead and drug test him. So that's that. And other UFC news, they're talking about possibly bringing Paige VanSant in for SummerSlam. She is a female UFC fighter. And also talks of Ronda Rousey fighting at WrestleMania 33. What do you think about that?
Well, first we'll do the Brock Lesnar thing. In terms of him not taking a drug test, I'm not playing devil's advocate. I agree with Hunt on that aspect. I don't think he's juiced. However, maybe he did get lab results from WWE.
Possibly. And,
because they drug test there?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think Brock Lesnar's juicing. I don't think he can juice. He doesn't have a fucking. He has a half intestines. I don't think his body could even take the stuff that they're probably taking. On top of that, I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just you know stating the obvious in terms of him losing you know a lot of his insides, his guts because of the DVT and all that shit, the diverticulitis. Then, people are talking about Mark Hunt like. You know, oh, Brock's gonna, even on our page, Brock's gonna knock him out. Brock's gonna take care of business. This dude's got 23 or something, 20 something wins.
He's a beast.
Nine of them were from knockouts. So I wouldn't, that's almost half his fucking his fights. So I really wouldn't put a lot of stock into Brock Lesnar winning anything. Okay, he has been in the octagon in a minute, you know, and Mark Hunt is an established heavyweight. He's a little older, but the guy can throw bows, man. He can hang with the best of them. So the fact that they're letting him do this, which is pretty cool, it's almost like an indie contract. Or like if you like when TNA wrestlers got to wrestle in the indies or Ring of Honor in the indies before they had, you know, the guaranteed contracts. Listen, if anybody could pull it off, it's Brock Lesnar. Dan Severin did it. Ken Shamrock did it. This is no different. You know, Brock does have a glass jaw. He doesn't like to be hit in the face. I know that. I've seen him give somebody a beating for 2 minutes. Then he lost by tap out. Remember that Frank Mir fight? He beat the shit out of Frank Mir, like bludgeoned him. And all Frank Mir did was turn over and give him an armbar, and that was it. That was a wrap.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Ends it.
So mixed martial arts, and I heard the rant, guys. Really fucking annoying, though, with the whole thing that it's fixed. And I've told Double A this a million times. I think he's fucking nuts for even thinking that. You want to make fun of it? Fine. Roman Reigns, Brock, Rusev, that was cute. That was really cute. But the fact that they're saying it's fixed is fucking retarded. But that's just me. That's my opinion. And I've told them that already, so it ain't like I'm hiding anything. The chicks fighting, I can care less. Ronda Rousey is probably the only legitimate person that would benefit from pro wrestling at this point. I think her losing her title has humbled her a little bit. And I think her division, if you follow the sport, has gotten a bit tighter. So now it's not like she's the fucking bee's knees anymore, you know? She's just one of the girls. She's not dominant no more. She took a loss. And that's pretty much it. So, if she can transition to a pro wrestler, she's got the body. She's not a bad-looking girl. She's very athletic. Let's see what she can do. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Rousey, they were saying, you know, has a ready-made feud. If a deal does get reached, you know, they could pick up on this segment from 31 where she, you know, had Stephanie in that half-assed armbar, not to kill her. Making Stephanie look weak for one of the few times ever.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so, listen, if anybody has a problem with UFC people transitioning to pro wrestling, why don't you let them fight first instead of shitting on them on social media or on podcasts or webcasts? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Give them a shot. You know, nobody thought Dan Severn was anything. He won the fucking NWA Heavyweight Championship, which is the oldest championship in pro wrestling. Dan the Beast Severn won the National Wrestling Alliance Heavyweight Champion, held by fucking Frank Gotch, Ric Flair, Harley Race, the Briscoes, Funk, that kind of belt. Okay? So let's ease up on people, you know? I'm not really big into UFC like I used to be.
I'm not into it at all. I follow it just from reading the posts that, you know, on Facebook. That's about it.
Oh, no. I get, like, the fights, the big fights. You know, I bought the Ronda Rousey fight. Don Fry, too. Thank you, Greg. I forgot about him. Who was in fucking Pancrase, and he wrestled in Japan. I like it. I'll get 200. I'll buy 200. Got a lot of good fights on there. I'll have some people over. UFC for me, Scott, is like boxing for you and I back in the day. We had a big fight. You get all your friends together. Everybody throws in a couple of bucks. We get beers and pizzas, and yep. We watch the fight. You know, we chip in, and we watch the fight.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, carry on, my friend.
Will Ospreay, still in the news, been in the news for the past 2 weeks.
Congrats.
Now he'll get a shot at the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Kushida. Ospreay won the New Japan's Best of Super Juniors tournament.
That's right.
And, you know, everybody's been, you know, he's been in the news. He had the match with Ricochet / Prince Puma. You know, people started ripping him, you know, saying it was choreographed, but, you know, you watch that 90 seconds and that's all you see. Yeah, I'm going to say it's choreographed, but when you watch the next 20 minutes of the match, it's not.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Get over yourselves. The fucking match was good, man.
Yeah.
It was okay. You know, and apparently when he won the tournament, he wasn't shit-talking like he normally does. Like, he talks a lot. He reminds me of Kevin Owens, when Kevin Owens talks while he's wrestling, which is kind of annoying. It's the only part of Kevin Owens I don't like.
I think it's funny. I can hear you from over here, Cole. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dominion card is stacked too, Greg. So, but anyway, yeah, getting back to Ospreay. The kid is good, man. The kid is good. You can't deny him.
No, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. You can't deny him, dude. You can't.
Oh, where we go from here? Global Force Wrestling has announced that co-founders Jeff and Karen will be at this weekend's Legends of the Ring Fan Fest in Monroe, New Jersey.
Thank God I'm not there this year.
Yeah, the Jarretts will be featured alongside Sting, the Hardys, Booker T, Bret Hart, Demolition, and many more.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. I went a couple of years with the Wizards.
Mandy Leone said she'll be there this weekend, too.
Well, you know my love, Jones, for Mandy Leon, Scott.
Oh, my God, son. I got some more news about the Women of Honor.
Oh, she can so get it.
She can get it every which way you can think it. Of.
Mandy Leon from Brooklyn, New York. You can get it, boo-boo.
Now, you know, ROH has their Women of Honor matches on the ROH channel.
Yes.
But now you'll have a chance to see them live. July 8th, Baltimore hosts a special Women of Honor event.
Woo!
All your favorite women will be in the action, in addition to special guests and some new athletes. Signed to compete, of course, card is subject to change. The Bullet Babe and Amber Gallows.
That's right.
Crazy Mary Dobson. Deonna Purrazzo. Faye Jackson. Jenny Rose. Kelly Klein. Kanati Brink. The aforementioned Mandy Leon. Solo Darling. Sumi Sake. And my two favorites. Man, this girl's got a body on her, Taylor Hendricks, and mine and Mick Wrestling's favorite, Veda Scott.
See, I'm a Veda Scott mark, too. Taylor Hendricks needs to fucking, one, she needs to stop putting that fucking white makeup on, because she looks like a fucking a goth junkie.
Yeah.
Like, somebody she shot up like 4 bags of heroin, and she's put, and she's a good-looking girl, too, man.
She had the face to match it, too. That look that she always has, it's like, like you just freaking fooled her into giving up her virginity. I just got laid.
I'll be at Ring of Honor's Field of Honor in Brooklyn the weekend before SummerSlam.
Nice.
Which is the weekend before NXT Brooklyn, which I just found out the Mandingo, Rob Domingo, secured tickets. So the guys who come over, I call them the, what are we calling ourselves? The Takeover Crew.
There you go.
The guys will come over for my pay-per-views every couple of months.
Right.
It's myself. I know Rob, his brother. Choppy's going, who's getting married tomorrow. We love you. Congratulations. We'll be there for you.
Congrats, Choppy, man. Good luck to you and yours. May you have years of happiness.
Years and years of happiness. Rage is coming with us. Who else is coming with us?
Is that other guy that used to be
on
the show?
Oh, right,
though?
Yes, the other guy. Yeah, he's coming, too.
What was his name again? David? Dan? Daniel?
You said,
Donald?
You said it last week. Was it not Dave? It was something.
Mark.
Mark Powell?
Mark Powell,
that's
yes.
That's right. That's right, Mark Powell. Yeah, he's coming with us. So, yeah, man. So we're going to fucking kick off SummerSlam weekend with some NXT in Brooklyn. So.
Nice.
So carry on with your news. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
NWA president meets with Triple H. Bruce Tharp posted the following tweet featuring himself and Triple H. It was just a picture of them two together. PWInsider.com is reporting that the two are meeting about Tharp possibly brokering a deal for the WWE for Paul Bosch's Houston wrestling territory.
Oh, the video content?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly the video content, yeah.
Because they have their own streaming service, NWA. It started it last year.
Yeah, so they could buy that out. That would secure everything, man.
Dude, if they get that footage, well, it's a wrap. Now, I mentioned this last year on the show, that if Vince ever decided to stop doing wrestling and just have a video library, he'd be a gazillionaire.
Yeah. Definitely.
Carry on.
So, toys are back in the news.
Toys.
SD San Diego Comic Con, if we know anybody that's going, please get me this exclusive.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. And the only one that we have out there is Nixon. Nixon, I know you're listening, brother. Or I know you're going to download this. Chris Nixon, you live there. I know you go to this thing. I will pay for this. Scott, please tell him what we're talking about.
A Shockmaster action figure.
Yes.
Complete with the silver-studded Stormtrooper helmet.
Please, Nixon, dude, I never ask you for a favor, kid. I'm shouting you out. Guys, get on the fucking social media. Tell Nixon I'm looking for him. Tell him to download this. About 22 minutes in, Scott and I want this action figure for our collection.
Yes. Oh, that's a must-have figure. I saw it, and I was like, oh, I don't collect the wrestling figures, but I want this one.
Yeah, man. You know what's going to happen, right? Some schmuck is going to buy him and put him on on eBay for like a gazillion dollars.
Yep.
Where we're just going to pay Nixon to pick him up for us. And shipping, right. So please, Nixon, do the right thing, brother. Okay? Please. And please get in touch with me, Scott, and I. Money is no object. Don't tell my wife that, but money is no object for the Shockmaster.
Christmas come early, baby.
Dude, that fucking action figure is awesome, dude.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, really?
Unbelievable.
Oh, and Funko debuted their Kevin Owens pop that's coming out around August.
Yeah, you guys put that on social media today, I know. Yesterday.
Yeah, they shot you and Tank out on Twitter because I know you guys. Tank's up. He showed me his collection. I was scrolling for hours.
Yeah, Tank's an animal because he has no life. I'm trying to get him a life to do more things with his life except collect toys and fucking NASCAR memorabilia. But yeah, he's fucking hooked us up with some good shit, man.
Yeah, he's like he asked me, you don't want the Bret Hart one? I was like, fuck Bret Hart, he's
fuck
the shit.
Bret Hart, yeah,
he's a whining bitch.
Yeah, I want a Bruiser Brody Funko Pop. They had to make it.
I mean, if they didn't make Andre the 6-inch, they definitely won't do Bruiser 6-inch.
No, they won't do a 6-inch. They won't. Only Giant Man gets a big one like that.
Yeah, and Wampa.
And Wampa. Oh wait a minute, they have a Wampa.
They did. It was a Hot Topic exclusive. Tanks got it.
Oh, God damn it.
They're sold out of them. I've been looking for them. When I went and saw it there, it was like $35. I was just like, I'm not paying $35.
Yeah, but now it's like $100, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Some fucking dick face in his mom's basement selling them on eBay for $100.
I did get the Thanos 6-inch one in the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, see, I would definitely do Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos was dope. I got him at Walmart, but they don't have any more.
You know who they should make in a 6-inch? Fucking The Devourer of Planets.
Galactus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my nephew's got a 12-inch Galactus that I might fucking steal from him.
Yeah, to smuggle down your pants like that.
I can't.
Listen, had racks of ribs.
Yeah, but I'm fat, bro. I can't fit Galactus in my pants, even at my size. Yes, Greg, you like 6 inches. We know, you fucking... You know what? With the gay puns, we know.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Okay, speaking of man beasts, we got China in the news. China's Memorial Day has been set for June 22nd in Redondo Beach, and fans wishing to attend have been invited.
You get a wristband and a bag of Coke.
If you go to China's website, they posted details how you can acquire a ticket, including a random drawing to win a pair, or for the fundraiser. That includes a memorial T-shirt. The proceeds from the fundraiser will go towards memorial expenses in China's estate, which would then be donated for animal rescue and child education groups. So, if you want to go to that, you get it free. I saw China's remains when we hung out in saying Kumbaya.
I love how you go to a memorial and get a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to a memorial for a friend or a relative? And they're famous and they were selling T-shirts outside, I'd probably stomp them.
Right.
They'd probably have to have the priest take me off of them and then throw holy water on me for being a dick. But, yeah. I mean, listen, man, if it be that way, let it be, as the dream would say.
If you will.
If you saw it, I got that dusty clip. I was like, yeah, it's my dusty clip of the night. He was pissed. Watch the clip. He was pissed. Anyway.
I'll go back and watch it. Luke Gallows is actually becoming one of the most popular people in the locker room, adding a bit of humor and lightening up the mood, they say. He doesn't seem to be careless or unprofessional, but he's noticed he's just bringing up the morale by a bit of his behavior and the way he speaks, so becoming a bit of a locker room leader back there. Good for Luke Gallows.
Yeah, good for Festus.
Yes. Not Bray Wyatt, but Luke Harper has been cast in an upcoming horror film called Mohawk, currently shooting in upstate New York.
Christ. Okay.
Yeah. I could see him working on that, like some kind of like leather-faced fucking family member.
Might as well. He's been off TV for fucking half a year.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes will be facing Pat Buck at WrestlePro event in Rahway, New Jersey on September 10th.
That's Shining Edward Jackson's organization, so support WrestlePro. Brian Myers was on one of the co-owners there. Brian Myers was on the Wizards podcast the other night. I turned, I don't want to say anything that I don't mean, but I was pissed off at Pat Buck for an incident last year, but... my personal feelings aside, he does put on a really good product, and he's a really decent wrestler too, so that should be a good match.
Yeah. So. Cody Rhodes also making his Evolve debut on August 19th, so as soon as he's back in the ring. And it looks like he'll be making several appearances for Evolve, not just a one-off deal.
And Pro Wrestling Guerrilla too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
New England Wrestling as well.
Oh yeah, good for them. See?
Yeah.
Good. NEWF. I like them guys. So listen, we knew he wasn't going to get... You knew Cody was going to get fucking work, you know?
Yeah. Cody's Cody, man. He was a beast.
Doesn't matter what he did, Greg. It's just something that I wasn't happy with. It wasn't really... It's kind of a personal thing. Had something to do with another podcast, but, you know, inadvertently took a shot. So, I don't want to get into it, but it doesn't matter. Pat Bucks, I'm not gonna dog him. He's genuinely a good guy, and he runs a good promotion. I just don't like some of his fucking nonsense, but that's another story. Go ahead.
Goldberg, you know, debuting on the 2K17 cover, but it seems his deal is only with 2K Sports and not with WWE.
Same thing with the Warrior.
Yep.
And same thing with the Warrior and
Steve.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The former star said in an interview with Romain Mahut to promote the video game and he was asked if he had any regrets. He said his one huge regret was, and this is verbatim, I would not have kicked Brett in the head. I respect Brett. I look up to Brett. A tear comes to my eye when I even think about it. For an icon like him to have his career cut short by mistake or accident by myself, it's almost impossible to deal with. So that's truly, to me, not to be selfish, but to make myself better. But at the end of the day, I just wish I could take back that kick.
Okay. People are still dogging him over it, too. Like, get over it. It was a fucking accident.
20 years ago, man.
Yeah,
get over it.
Get over it, you fucking marks. I mean, we weren't even born when this happened, you fucking... I'll get into that in a little while, but...
Yeah, we're going to... I'm slowly building up to the AAA news. Speaking of AAA, you know, some places, that's considered the minor league. So, TNA Wrestling has their big pay-per-view this weekend. How did they do in the ratings on their go-home show? They went down 20,000 viewers, that's how.
Okay, well, listen, Dawson's Creek was running a marathon.
Yeah, they dropped from number 83 to 116 in Cable's top 150.
Mm-hmm.
We have the card here real quick. Match can only be won by KO or submission. Drew Galloway, the champion, versus challenger Bobby Lashley. Full Metal Mayhem match is Brother Nero versus fucking wannabe Seth Rollins, Matt Hardy. TNA Knockouts Championship match, Jade the Champion versus Sienna. Tag team is Champions Decay versus the Bromans. X Division title, Trevor Lee versus Eddie Edwards versus DJZ. And Andrew Everett. King of the Mountain Championship match, Eli Drake versus Bram.
Remind me to download that clip.
All right. Okay. Ethan Carter III versus Mike Bennett. Mahabala Shara and Grotto versus Tribunal without Snow.
Ugh.
Gail Kim was supposed to take on Maria Kanellis, but she has broken her hand and will not appear.
So she'll help her husband as a sous chef.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there.
That's right, Zaniac. Dirty Pop.
And TNA has, you know, announced a partnership with ProWrestlingTees.com.
Thank God. So when you like I said the other day, when you go buy, you know, when you want that Bram shirt, go buy a Turnbuckle Throwback shirt first from ProWrestlingTees.com, and then go buy your Bram shirt.
It's actually only ten designs that are TNA Impact Wrestling. It's not the wrestlers' shirts on that link.
Right, because the wrestlers can't get paid on it. I was just being silly.
But yeah, when you go back there to buy your old school TNA throwback,
right?
Put that aside and get the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, because we're the originators of the throwbacks.
That's right. Four different designs, FYI. And the more you buy, the more designs we could put on there.
Yes.
Hint, hint. Sorry.
Exactly.
Carry on, partner. Carry on.
According to Wrestling Observer, TNA is looking to sign people to exclusive contracts, which would give TNA complete control of the bookings. They're looking to lock down the Hardys, Lashley, and Galloway, but as none of them have signed exclusive deals as the time this article was posted. It would likely take a sizable money offer for TNA to do that for all four names, as the Hardys consistently get independent bookings, as you've seen. They're all over the place, up and down the East Coast, and Drew Galloway does a lot of indies over in the UK. So to lock them down and to cut that out, they're going to have to pay these boys.
Yeah.
And we all know what's going on there. Now, as far as TNA goes, PWTorch.com is reporting that ownership of the TNA name was taken over by Arrowlux Media LLC on May 3rd. The company registered ownership of the name from May 3rd, 2016 to 2021. This company still owns the names TNA Wrestling and TNA Entertainment, as well as the name associated with Impact Wrestling. So, take that for what it's worth.
We're spending way too much time on TNA, by the way.
That's all the news on TNA.
Thank you.
But, like I said, take that for what it's worth.
I just, again, like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, they have that contract, that TV contract with India and fucking Europe.
Yep.
That's paying their bills right now. So, they like TNA, so God bless them.
Now, we have Booker T on the brand extension.
Booker.
King Booker.
Booker. You got to have Mikey do that for you. He does it good.
I'm going to sit back and watch it just like everyone else. I'm excited about the brand extension. I'm excited because it's going to give us a chance to see two champions again from a tag team perspective, from a heavyweight perspective. Another belt may be implemented. I'm looking forward to seeing the younger guys go out there and seeing what WrestleMania 33 is going to be like.
Okay.
Now, reading that, he contradicted himself. He said, I'm looking to see two champions again from tag team and from heavyweight perspectives. Another belt may be implemented. But you already said two champions, which would mean another belt.
Yes, either he contradicted himself or he just blew up a... He just broke kayfabe.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Who cares? Booker T is Booker T, you know.
Yep. Now, we had NXT TakeOver Wednesday night, which was really, really good.
Yeah.
Before we go on that, they did an interview with Alexa Bliss on her, you know, her time with Blake and Murphy. She said they used to be best friends. They helped her discover who she was. They taught her that Bliss was good, but bad is better. Because of the boys, I was really able to express who I am instead of being the pixie princess I was pretending to be.
That's not the one that came up to help Charlotte, right, in the last pay-per-view?
No, that was Dana Brooke.
That's Dana Brooke. That's Shitlocker. Okay.
Alexa Bliss was in the three-way match with Nia Jax and Carmella.
Yes, yes, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. Blake and Murphy were winners. I was a winner, and winners gravitate towards each other. They helped me. I helped them any way we could.
I like winning.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Right.
Yeah, they were able to retain the NXT championships on their own, but when the matches weren't going the way they wanted, I made sure to step in. We were an unstoppable group, and we worked well together. That's what made our relationship good from the beginning. Then she goes on to say, do you remember the NXT episode where I wasn't at ringside and the fans weren't chanting, let's go Blake or let's go Murphy? They chanted, where's Alexa? And I always knew I was a star of the group, but that confirmed it. I was built by the ground up, from the ground up by NXT. I am what they designed for the future to look like. I'm what everyone strives to be. I was made to be women's champion. I am the future, and I will take what's rightfully mine, is her words.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. NXT TakeOver. Neville was seen there, and in an exclusive interview on WWE.com, they asked him how he was feeling. He said he feels fresh and has started to move around on the ankle and looks forward to getting back in the mix. So I think he might be back by SummerSlam.
I can't wait to see Aaron Neville back.
Right?
Yep.
And he's going to come out and sing the national anthem, too?
I don't know much, but I know I love you. Sorry.
NXT also had a dark match result. Athena.
It's William Morgan's girl.
Baby. William Morgan's number one girl.
His future baby mama.
Yeah. And she beat Peyton Royce in a dark match before the show. Backstage sightings. We all saw Bobby Roode walk past William Regal. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Hold on. Sorry.
ROH fan favorite Moose was reported backstage at the NXT event.
This guy has only been around for 2 years, and he's getting a lot of looks.
They go on to note that Moose's deal expires next month.
It does. I think we mentioned that a few weeks ago, right?
Yes. We were talking about, what was his name, Caprice Coleman's contract. It was Moose and someone else.
It was someone else that was also up. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. Moose was spotted in Orlando, and PWI was told it was to visit a friend. Obviously, that friend or friends work at Full Sail University.
Yeah. All, a lot of them are friends. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them live in Florida. Jay Lethal lives in Florida. A lot of guys live in Florida now.
Yeah. And now, Triple H also did an exclusive interview.
I saw that. The one that was on after the after the event. Yeah, I watched it.
Yo, did he play you for that quick second? Did
he
troll you?
Yeah, of course he did. I don't want to get into the whole thing because it was too long.
But, right, I'm just going to cover the, he started off by saying, joking that the enemy's NXT is over. And he gave about a 5 second pause, and he's like, "Nah, I'm only kidding." He said it was the end of the feud between Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. He added that the end also signifies how far NXT has come. What started out as developmental has become its own brand, and tonight marked the beginning of NXT completely focusing on becoming a complete brand in the WWE moving forward. Then he was asked about the matches. one of the matches he was asked, you know, he commented on was the Nia Jax Asuka match. Triple H said he didn't believe it was a setback for her, as he's never seen anyone push Asuka like that. Jax put the women's division on notice, and the division is a very interesting landscape, especially when you know what, if you know what I know about who is coming into the division. Things are about to get interesting real fast. It's his words on the women's division. Do you know anything about that?
Nope. I was trolled, and I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
Now I'm not really pissed off.
Then on Samoa Joe, Triple H said NXT, Samoa Joe is NXT and feels sorry for anyone that thinks otherwise. He teased Finn Balor might not be done hunting for the title yet, but also said that Shinsuke Nakamura is breathing down Joe's neck. Triple H teased that battle is near.
No shit.
Yep.
You're going to give the guy a gazillion dollars and have him wrestle Austin Aries and Mojo Riley every other night.
Hey, look, I thought that was a good match with him.
I didn't say it wasn't. I'm just saying you can't expect you lure this guy 3,000 miles across the Atlantic. Across the world, I should say, to the United States to wrestle for the biggest company here. He comes from WWE Lite, WWE, and he's in NXT. I'm sorry. If you're paying him main event money, he's got to be main eventing. That's it.
I agree with you.
He's got to be main eventing. It's the bottom. And I've said this from the first time there was speculation of them signing him. So it's inevitable. And Joe will fucking tear it up with anybody, because Joe can mat wrestle you. Joe can take it to the air. Joe could strong style you. Samoa Joe is a hybrid, and he's a good hand. So him and Nakamura, if that comes to pass, that's gonna be amazing.
But check this one out. During the tapings, Finn Balor was cutting a promo that was interrupted by Nakamura, and the two made a challenge to each other. Shortly after the segment was taped, Triple H posted a photo of them in the ring with him sitting at, you know, like the control boards, and them on the TV all in the background. And his tweet said, "No sleep till Brooklyn, hashtag we are NXT."
Wow. So I get to see Finn Balor and Nakamura at fucking NXT Brooklyn. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what it's looking like.
Well, then I got my money's worth, because that's going to be good. It's going to be a New Japan match, but who gives a shit? In Brooklyn, in downtown Brooklyn. So
it looks like Hulk Hogan might be out of his $115 million, $140 million that was awarded to him in the Gawker settlement, as Gawker has turned around and filed bankruptcy.
That's not necessarily true, though. The company was insured, so
right.
Hogan might just will get a settlement from the insurance company. You know what I'm saying?
What it does is it fends off creditors, and it includes loss and paying out the creditors and lawsuits.
Right.
So it's basically a stall tactic.
Yeah.
But now I also saw that Gawker has entered into an asset purchase agreement to sell its 7 media brands and other assets to Ziff Davis, a global digital media company which operates in the technology, gaming, and lifestyle categories.
Ooh, kinky.
So it looks like they might have a buyer, and of course any money awarded to them will have to go to pay off somewhat of their debts in some fashion.
Gotcha.
So that is that on Gawker. Now, what we have left is just NXT TakeOver.
Yep.
Yep. It opened up with the debuting out. Oh, before I do this, did you happen to see that video clip of Lita and Corey Graves for Botchamania?
I saw that last night, actually.
How hard were you laughing at Corey Graves' face?
Yeah, it's funny shit. You know what? I like... Well, Botchamania's been around for a minute. You know,
right.
Botchamania's been around since the inception of YouTube. Back in like 2005, I believe it is. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it already, go on the page. I think somebody put it on the page.
Me and Z were catching some Botchamania at work today.
Fucking great, man. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
Oh, that was... His face killed me. But Andrade Cien Almas debuted against the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger, who also has a new shirt up on the website, so he wants you to go buy it.
He'll also borrow Chris Jericho's lighting fixtures for his jacket.
I think they should put it on sale for $10. That would have been awesome. I would have bought it.
Yeah.
But he opened up against, you know, that was La Sombra from AAA. I thought it was a good match. You know, nice appetizer, so to speak. Couple of high spots. My favorite part of the match was when he went for the moonsault and then landed on his feet and just kept going with another backflip onto him.
Yeah.
That was pretty tight. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I figured CN would win, and he beat him in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Ty Dillinger is the new Mojo Riley.
Yeah.
He's going to put all the new guys over. So, well, he's the like
next...
the... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
The next match... Now, this was, you know, this was your main course, and you got a lot of main courses coming after this. First up was American Alpha defending their titles against the former champions and now challenges the Revival. Now, the more... I love American Alpha, man. I love them to death. I think they're great. They're the second coming of Benjamin and Haas. You know, Kurt Angle has said he wants to work with them as Team Angle 2.0.
2.0, that's right. Said that last week.
And, you know, I thought this was a good match. But the Revival, Dash and Dawson, they ain't kidding when they say no flips, just fists, because they're going to come out and punch you in the mouth. They remind me somewhat of a Blanchard and Anderson team.
Yeah. They work on the one body part, the hot tags.
Yep.
The ref distractions, the pile drivers. I mean, that one spot they do when he holds the one guy up and the other guy comes and kicks him in the head.
Yes.
I love that fucking move.
And the finisher, like the like a 3D into a code breaker.
Yes, I love that too.
Yeah. These guys are good and they deserve to become the first two-time tag champs and two-time title holders ever in NXT.
I want them to make a Rival satin jackets.
Yes. Play members only, baby. Members only.
No, not even members only. Like the satin, like baseball jackets like they used to have for the Horsemen. I want a satin jacket with the Arrival logo on the back of it. And I'll wear a towel under it.
I love their shirt. The only thing I don't like is their names are on both the front and the back.
I didn't even see their shirts, but I'll look at them on .com later.
Yeah. But, yeah, this was a damn good match. I mean, the first match, you know, the Revival said we got suckered into wrestling their style of match, and that's how we lost the belt. Tonight we're going to come out and do our style of match.
Exactly.
And that's what they did. They punched him in the face and just kept punching and punching and punching. They won straight up, hit their finisher, and after the match, they went to the back as American Alpha was left in the ring. They get attacked by two guys. We now know their names are the Authors of Pain. It's Sonny Dinsa and Gazim Salmani. The two have been working NXT house shows for a while. Not the fact that they came in there and, you know, they beat up an exhausted American Alpha team. It's what happened next, Phil.
Yeah, what happens next is, as the team, these guys are about, if you haven't seen it, they're way over 6 foot. They remind me of a ethnic Powers of Pain without the makeup. They're just strong dudes, big muscle dudes. I don't know if they're Samoans or not.
I don't know.
I think they might be like Indian or maybe like Middle Eastern. Either way, it doesn't matter. These guys were fucking massive, and they were in military garb, and they're beating the crap out of American Alpha. As they're doing this, the camera pans to the ring entrance. Down to the top, to the end of the ramp, and who's standing there with his arms crossed?
I knew who it was.
I know who it was.
But the crowd didn't seem to know who it was.
It was the legendary Hall of Fame manager, Precious Paul Ellering, formerly manager of the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, and the original Legion of Doom crew from Georgia Championship Wrestling. And he wrestled that stupid biker gimmick, DOA. And yes, he had the fucking Rocco puppet for SummerSlam, whatever. But it's Paul Ellering, one of the greatest minds in wrestling, one of the greatest managers of all time, one of the greatest promo guys. And he was a decent wrestler. Well, people don't know he was a wrestler, too. And he wrestled for a while before he became a manager. The dude was legit. He was a legit badass. As this is going on, the fucking Mark crowd starts chanting, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Now, people are like, "Oh, no, they were chanting that with the two guys who were in the ring." No, they weren't, because I went back and played it again. And just to prove a point to the marks that I wasn't losing my mind. I'm not getting that old yet. I'm not deaf yet. But that was, and it's not DOA times whatever, XD, whatever it is. It's either way, I was fucking horrified. Because, you know, my disdain for the newer crowd, for the newer wrestling fan, and this is where I get on my soapbox. You want me to wait, or you want to wait till you want to go with the rest of the card? You want me to get on it now?
We're doing this in order. This is where we do it.
I'm fucking infuriated with the under 35 crowd that goes to these fucking matches now. And I know, you paid your ticket, you want to root, you're entitled to that, it's your God-given right, you paid your ticket, you bought your seat, you're fine, you want to yell and scream and carry on like I do at a ball game, you can go right ahead and do that. But don't chant shit just for the point of chanting it. Like, you don't have no fucking clue, like... And I hate when they do, when the two guys are in the ring, "Let's go, Aries, Nakamura, let's go." Like, it's just to say it. You're not doing it because you like the fucking character. You're doing it just to hear yourselves on television. So the people take away your signs when you come in now. Because remember back in the day, you used to bring all the signs?
Yep.
WWE, like, they censor the signs, which is fucking retarded. And I'll get into that on another podcast when I do a filatorial. But, like... this is your rebuttal. You're going to just start chanting. This happens every fucking week, man. I go to an indie show. It happens every fucking week. And I don't care if they didn't know who it was. I don't care. And they do the same thing when two fucking guys are in the ring and they chant, "This is boring. This is boring." Why is it boring? Because it's over 10 minutes and they didn't do 17 fucking high spots? Hi, you fucking marks. Get over yourselves. These guys are performers. These girls are performers. They're coming out there, and they're doing it for you, for us, for TV. You know? Like, they're performers. Same way you go to a fucking concert, or you go to a Broadway show, or you go to a performance offstage or off-Broadway, or something like that. It's a fucking performance. Don't disrespect the fucking talent. Okay, you want to boo when they say something? That's fine. You want to boo when the heel fucking does something nasty and the ref don't see it? That's what you should be doing. Don't chant "you" like "this is boring" and "you're boring" and "who are you?" Because you know what? You all look fucking foolish. And I'm sorry, Greg, you're wrong. It looked like Paul fucking Ellering. Okay, you can't mistake precious Paul Ellering. He doesn't change. He maybe his fucking mustache got a little bigger, and it got a little, you know, a little more grayer, obviously, because he's up there in age. However, I just hate this fucking constant disrespect, Scott. I hate it. I agree.
You have to appreciate the technical wrestling.
I mean, come on. Why? Because, you know what? I don't even care if these, what's the name of the tag team? Authority of Pain?
Authors of Pain,
I'm sorry. I don't even care if they suck. The fact that they're aligned with Paul Ellering, I'm sold. I want a t-shirt.
I agree with you.
I want an action figure. I'm sold. Because Paul, anything he touched besides DOA was gold. Because I'm not a big fan of the Harris Bros anyway. They're fucking racist, fucking redneck cocksuckers. And I don't like racism. But...
he says as he calls them rednecks. No, I'm kidding with you, man.
Fucking they're all rednecks. They're fucking rednecks. Fucking wearing swastikas and fucking, you know, calling guys the N-word in the ring and shit. They're racist motherfuckers. So I can't endorse them. I'm sorry.
No, Greg, you don't have to chant that they're boring in the ring. What you do is you don't give them the ovation. Let them walk out. But, you know, they know they have to clean up the matches.
Right.
They'll know. There's many boys telling besides they're boring and they're not any good.
These fucking kids, I'm sorry, a lot of these kids don't know the lineage. You know, before 2005, before you had fucking YouTube, there were videotapes, there was tape trading, there was a subculture of refined wrestling that I didn't see in my life, and I had to swap it with New Japan, Old Japan, FMW, Big Japan, Wing, Mid-South, Florida Championship Wrestling, all the stuff that I didn't watch as a kid, I got to see as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I respect the lineage. I'm not saying you have to like every single guy that comes into the ring or girl.
Because we don't.
You don't. But respect the fucking talent. And I know the talent sometimes will tell you they don't care. But trust me, man. I've been to matches. I was at WrestleMania 20 when they booed Goldberg and Brock Lesnar out of the building. You know, I was at ECW when JT Smith took a fucking head bump. Took a crazy spot and tripped on the top rope and smashed his head to the concrete. And they were fucking abusing him afterwards. And the guy got taken to the hospital with a knot on his head the size of my fist. And I have a pretty big fucking fist. You know, so I know what it's like to sit in a crowd and have these people get... I mean, you know, I saw Stevie Richards get abused with an inflatable sheep. They started a Steve Fuck Sheep chant. Steve Fuck Sheep. Can you imagine that? Out of nowhere, Steve fucks sheep. And
big
I was
Tank in the room.
Yes, that's my brother right there. It's my brother.
He'll tell you how it is.
Tank was with Tank. Tank been to several matches with me. He knows the deal. Now, my point is this. Let's fucking respect the talent. Don't just chant for the sake of chanting. AJ Styles, Roman Reigns. And now every time I hear that, I go, you sound stupid. You sound stupid. You know?
Yeah.
Fucking marks.
The DDT was one of the most devastating moves ever. Now JBL could make a clothesline look like it was going to take a guy's head off, like Stan Hansen. You know, those clotheslines looked devastating, but you knew they were nothing more than him just holding his arm there.
When I was a kid, guys won matches with atomic knee drops.
Yes.
Okay.
He just also said he misses people winning shit with like sleepers and bear hugs.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
How many matches did Billy Jack Haynes win with a full Nelson?
Hercules?
Yeah.
Superstar Billy Graham?
Yeah.
World champion Billy Graham.
Exactly. These moves were like finishes. Now they're laughed at. Now if you're not freaking falling from the rafters with a leg drop, you know, you're not gonna, everybody's kicking out of everything.
I don't feel like this newer generation has a real grasp of, you know, of the lineage. And then you'll have the kids that are like, well, I watched Mid-South and I watched AWA, so you know, I'm all up on it. You know, I've seen fucking Florida Championship Wrestling, and I know you don't know because fans didn't act like that 20 years ago. They cheered, yeah. They cried, they yelled, screamed, that was it. They didn't start chance to be on television. That's it. You guys do chance because you want to be on TV. So congratulations, Marks. You got your fucking chance. So I hope you're all happy that you ruin it for the rest of us. Okay, that was soapbox number one. Go ahead, carry on.
Next match, Austin Aries versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, classic. Austin Aries comes out and he's got his ribs taped up, which I knew right away is not a good thing when you're fighting the fucking King of Strong style.
No. No. It's a good match. Classic. It's going to be on their DVD, their greatest fucking matches, the next volume, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, Nakamura's almost flawless in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, Austin Aries, you know, he hit his spots. He got him in a last chancery. You know, he was a good match. It was back and forth. And there you go. I mean, Nakamura came out with the win. I honestly thought when he went for that, that Aries was going to counter it because Aries kind of just stood straight up and walked into it.
Right.
So I figured I was expecting a counter as he stood up.
Right.
But no, Nakamura got the height. I mean, Aries is short, but he got the height and kneed him right in the fucking head.
Yep.
And it was done.
Yeah, it was a good match, top to bottom. It was just, as a matter of fact, that was the match I came in on. I was telling Scott today on the phone in pre-production. I had really bad commute on Wednesday, and I got, like, when I finally got down into my bus and sat down, I was able to watch it. that was the match I got in on, so I had to go back and watch the other couple of matches prior, and I watched the whole thing. So, anyway.
Next match, the women's title match. The Rock's cousin, Nia Jax, challenges Asuka.
Yeah. Asuka, you know, Asuka showed why she's the champion.
She literally kicked the shit out of her.
And it was good. And I think that Nia Jax is the future of that division. She's big. She's not that bad on the eyes either. I like a bigger girl anyway. But that's just my preference. However, I think she perfectly set this up for a nice little run with a little feud.
Yeah.
It just sets up. It sets up a good story. Like, you know, a couple of girls were on the shelf. Nia Jax stepped in. She was terrorizing people, and Asuka was, you know, putting her back in a place. Like, listen, young person, I'm still the fucking champ here. So, good match.
I love Asuka. Her smile when she just looks at you with that smile, like, you know, bad things are gonna happen, and you know she's put that smile on me. I'd let her do bad things to me.
Yeah, either that or she's selling some Hello Kitty stuff. So
yeah, either way, I'm good.
Either way, I'll buy it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then we had the title match. The way a story should end, the way feud should end. The only criticism I have against this match is I'm so old school. Walk out the door or go over the top.
Yeah, the referee thing is, yeah, I got to agree with you, bro. The referee thing is just a fucking, it's just annoying me. You shouldn't have it three ways. It's either walk out of the cage or climb out of the cage.
Yep.
I agree.
Now, there was, this was a good match. Samoa Joe, your champion, versus Finn Balor, the challenger. Balor, your former champ, lost the belt on April 21st after holding it for 292 days. Balor comes to the ring in his demon paint, but yet it's not black and red, but black and white. I don't know if a lot of people noticed that, but that's Bullet Club colors. We all know that he loves to troll people and get people thinking and misleading people. I also know he's heading to the damn Download Fest, so he's not going to be on Raw on Monday. He's over in the UK on tour. So that's that. But they come out, and they go at it. I mean, a couple of high spots in this match. He hit the sling blade from the top of the cage, which was nice.
Yeah.
Joe gave him a fucking broski boot that knocked the face paint off of him and into the front row. Joe gives him a muscle buster. You know, they hit their finishes on each other. They beat the shit out of each other, and this is exactly what a feud should end like. And Joe beat him with a muscle buster off the top rope.
Yep.
I'm sorry, we got to rewind. Before this match, they were interviewing William Regal in the back.
Yep.
And as he was being interviewed, Bobby Roode walks behind him and into his office. And William Regal just looked at the office, ended the interview, and walked in there. Bobby Roode, as I stated, NXT is now on the overseas tour in England with the Download Festival. Rumor was Bobby Roode was to debut on that tour. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
Okay, so after the match, Joe leaves the ring. And what was said afterwards is Finn Balor, after he got his wits back about him, you know, and they lowered the cage back down, and he climbed up to the top of the cage and was just sitting up there waving to the crowd, and "See you Monday" chant started. But yet, take it for what it's worth, because Balor's a troll, and he'll do that to get people talking about him, just like he did with the bus thing.
He did. What if he sold it, line and sinker? Everybody sold
it. So, you know, much like Sami Zayn gave his goodbye after the Nakamura match, where he was left in the ring and just sat there and waved to the crowd and looked around, that's what Balor did. But like I said, Balor's a troll, man.
Yeah, I don't put much stock in it now until I see him on Raw. Or SmackDown at that point, you know?
Yes.
Because it's only like 3 weeks away now until they go live, right?
July, 3 weeks to the draft in about a month. July 19th is when they go live.
Right, exactly. Okay.
And there was one other thing. while we're talking about that I read, but I don't want to talk much about the brand extension until the time comes, because everything is just speculation.
Right.
One thing I was reading was, in order for the Rosses to be even and unique, they were discussing either making Raw 2 hours or SmackDown 3 hours.
See, I wouldn't like that. If you're going to make one of them 2 hours, make them both 2 hours.
I agree with you there. But yeah, that's what they were discussing. And, you know, it does make sense if you want to have unique rosters and keep them even, because a 3 hour show could push a lot more talent than a 2 hour show, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth, too. But that's one of the things that they were discussing in USA was, you know, weighing the benefits of having a 3 hour SmackDown.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
So that's all I got for news. You got anything else?
So before we go to break, I just want to talk about something real quick that, again, the fans pissed me off, and some of our listeners of our network pissed me off, and I was on two other pages and talking to people that pissed me off on wrestling pages on Facebook, and I don't even know why I lull myself to get into these arguments. Not even arguments, but, like, debates. Because, you know, I know, you know, that I can validate pretty much everything I say because I'm old. When it comes to wrestling, anyway, I'm not all knowing. I'm not better than anybody else. Anyway, that's my disclaimer too. Because someone told me that I was too high and mighty, and then another person told me that I was how do you say it? I forget how he said it, but it doesn't matter. So Joey Janela is a local kid from New Jersey around the tri-state area. He's a indie wrestler. He made his name known for a while now. Wrestled all over the Northeast, including Japan. I think he wrestled overseas too. I'm not sure. I know he wrestled in not Japan, Canada. And I think he wrestled. I don't know if he wrestled overseas yet, but I know he wrestled in Canada, and he wrestled all over the Northeast. He's a friend of the Shining Wizards Network. I met Joey a few times. We're not friends, we're acquaintances. I'm a fan of his work. I think the kid's, he's solid. He's actually matured a lot in terms of a person. He had his own podcast for a couple of months, and it didn't last long, but it was pretty good, you know. And Joey wanted to fight in a hardcore match. Right?
Right.
And he got his chance last week at Game Changer Wrestling in New Jersey against a former Combat Zone Wrestling owner, John Zandig. Now, if you know who Zandig is in Combat Zone Wrestling, look it up. Him, Louis Ramos, they're like hardcore legends here in the Northeast. Low Life Louis Ramos, another friend of the network too. So former CZW owner John Zandig, you know, he's fucking insane. And to prove he's insane, he fought Joey Janela. You know, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, whatever it was, June 5th, I think he fought him, or June 4th, whatever it was. And he wrestled the match, and they got to the top of a building, and he body slammed Joey Janela through a flaming table from a two-story building. And, you know, his moniker was the ultra-violent icon, you know? And, of course, it broke the internet. Like the same way when Chris Dickinson hit the girl last year in the ring.
Right.
You know, same concept. It made TMZ. It made PW Insider. Meltzer. Everybody talked about it, right? Of course, AA puts it up on the page, on the Rampage, and he's like, he's offended, right? Right away, he's offended. And everybody's agreeing with him for the most part. Now, I come on, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I know Joey. Joey's not careless. Joey's not that kind of guy. I know him. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now I have an invested interest. When I was in my 20s, and you notice for a fact, we loved garbage wrestling from Japan.
Yeah.
We called it garbage wrestling. It was death matches. It was exploding rings, shards of glass, light bulbs, thumbtacks. And, you know, people were like, it's garbage wrestling. The guy who sold me my videotapes called it garbage wrestling. I used to tell him, yeah, let me get Great American Bash 87 and give me your latest garbage tape. You know? And that's what I did. I ordered them. And I don't care if you're not a deathmatch fan. That's fine. You don't have to be a deathmatch fan. But people were like, oh, you know, one guy was like, this is insane. You know, what if people are watching this, like kids? And I was like, well, if kids are watching this, then that means hopefully their parents are parental or parental guardians are fucking looking over their shoulder, right? Like, I wouldn't let my kid watch that right now unless I'm over his shoulder, which I have. And plus, my kid knows it's all work. Okay, so now we're going back and forth. And I said, you know, this is the same thing when, you know, this happens, like when stunt people do something or when actors and actresses do different types of movies that you're not used to. You know, people, you know, they don't shit on them. You know, when fucking Mick Foley made a career out of putting his body out there and everybody fucking cheered and hollered, but Joey Janela does it, and he's this, he's that. People, like, destroying him on social media, too. Like, you know, you're an asshole. Why would you do that? And then the kid who's arguing with me tells me on a rampage, he goes, oh, yeah, all that for $50. And, you know, he probably, you know, someone's going to sue. And I'm like, first of all, you have to sign a waiver. Second of all, Joey Janela gets paid more than $50 now, especially John Zandig. He gets paid more than that as well. I'll put that to rest, too. Guys, really, it all goes back to fucking, like, judging a talent again. Like, you know, if you don't like it, don't watch it, okay? It was a spot. It happened. I mean, guys have been taking spots for fucking years and years and years and years. But because they were your heroes, it's okay. You know, Mick Foley got tossed off a fucking 30-foot cage through tables.
Yeah.
And he's a legend because of it now. And nobody said boo about that. Public Enemy said, I was ringside, set Stevie Richards on fire through two fucking tables. Said nothing about that.
Edge threw Mick Foley through flaming tables.
Yeah. How about this? How about this? Fucking Sandman got crucified on a cross with barbed wire. Nobody said nothing except for Kurt Angle, who walked out on it. And then I was told, oh, you know, my point was, you know, it's about the kids. It's not about the kids. If your kid is watching that, you should fucking be watching it with them. Okay? Be a fucking parent or be a guardian. Be a proper.
Why you don't do it that way?
Okay,
you know,
but
tell them why you don't go out there and do that unsupervised or untrained.
Don't try this at home. Every fucking video that I own in my house, every toy that I have related to pro wrestling comes with a disclaimer. My kid knows it. Don't try this at home. He knows it. We preach it. Right now, as we speak, he's in his room playing his wrestling game. What do you do? Don't try this at home.
Right.
Atsushi Onita, Sabu, Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka, Mick Foley.
Funk.
Did I mention Terry Funk? No, I didn't mention Terry Funk.
Well, he was so good at it, we'll name him twice if he did.
Terry Funk, Terry Gordy, Hayabusa, Leatherface, Mr. Pogo.
New Jack.
Yeah, New Jack. Public Enemy, The Gangsters. I can go on and on and on and on. Please, cut the shit. It wasn't about the kids. My point was, people do things. Performers do certain things because they want to. Joey Janela wants to do a death match. I really don't think Joey Janela is going to do a death match next week. Matter of fact, he ain't, because he just had surgery on his hand, so he's recovering from surgery.
So, get well soon.
Get well soon. Joey probably doesn't listen. He knows who I am. He knows me from shows. I talk to him once in a while, but. In the same breath, you know, my disdain for these fucking marks, again, like, guys, get over yourselves. You know, get the fucking facts first before you shit on people. Like, you want to have an opinion, that's fine, but get the fucking facts, guys. Come on. Do your homework. And I only got invested in this interest because, A, I know Joey. And B, Double A posted it. And I was like, this makes me sick as a wrestling fan. Okay, that's your opinion. That's fine. So you're not going to go out and buy any deathmatch tapes or DVDs. Okay. God bless. Love to love you. What do you want me to tell you? I just feel like, you know, this, you know, people are using that as a fucking, as a excuse to pick on wrestlers and say that it's bad for kids. Well, you know what? Cop shows are bad for kids, and cartoons were bad for kids, and
video games
and especially.
Heavy metal music.
Oh, please, yeah. Heavy metal music supposedly makes you worship Satan and kill people.
Eat a dick, Tip of Gore.
Yeah, eat a dick, everybody. How about eat a bag of fried wrestling dicks?
No powdered sugar for you.
No powdered sugar for you. Plain.
No Zeppeli dicks.
No Zeppeli dicks. Maybe I just found the name of a podcast tonight.
There we go.
Maybe. We'll see. But please, guys, come on. Stop. Do your fucking homework before you get on your fucking soapbox on social media and pretend that you know what you're talking about, because you don't. You don't. Okay? You don't. This genre of wrestling has been around for decades. The former NWA World Champion fucking brought it back to the States and gave it to Paul Lee, who then got was stolen from by WCW and WWE.
So now it's CZW.
Combat Zone is a fucking hybrid. They do wrestling matches now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Of course you want powdered dicks, Greg, you fucking pole smoker. God bless you. You can have all of them, buddy. All for you. Big fat bowl of them. How about that? Anyway, all right, I'm done, dude. I'm done with the Venom. You got any other news?
The only news I got is my bladder's about to burst.
All right, go smoke your stogie. Go empty your fucking lizard. Let's take a break. Plug our friends, and I'm going to check on the kid and grab a fucking beverage myself.
For all you guys in the chat room, while we're gone, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Buy the shirts.
Yeah, be a mark. Buy the shirt.
Zaniac, buy the shirt.
Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt. Remember that NWA commercial?
Yeah.
Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt. All right, kids. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with live. RantEMRadio.com is the spot. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us in the chat room tonight. You guys are fucking delicious. And we'll be right back. Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbucklethrowbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace!
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you! Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for
by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Stop now.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He said
he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
That was so disrespectful.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Little Egypt, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Who changed his name to Muhammad Ali? He knows how to talk and he knows how to fight, and all the contenders were beat out of sight. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. He floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. Catch me if you can.
That's right.
Now all you fight fans, you've got to agree. There ain't no flies.
I went over our played the music too quick. About to play a little Egypt spot. I mean, I got it over, but it... Anyway. We're back.
It happened.
I was just fucking trigger happy. I was eating, wasn't a scooter pie. What do you call those things? They look like scooter pies, but they're bigger. What the hell is called again?
I don't know. Fudge rounds?
No, they have cream
moon
in
pies.
The, yeah, they're like moon pies, but they're called something else. I forget. Anyway, I'm on a sugar rush now, so I was like a little jittery. But, all right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
We're here.
We're live. That's right. We're live. I see Pastor Sadell in the room. Hello, sir.
What's up, Pastor?
Thank you for joining us tonight. Pastor, did you make your decision yet? Are you jumping ship? Are you coming to the East Coast or what, fam? Let us know. No, it wasn't a moon pie. What the hell is this thing called? It's like a cake. My mind's a blank. I'm exhausted. Just whatever. It was good. It was mad sugary. But anyway, it's like a squashed. It looks like a moon pie, but it's got, you know, like cream in the middle, and it's like a cake.
So. Like whoopie pie?
Whoopie pie. That's it. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Whoopie pie. That's what I had.
Those are good.
Yeah, I got the homemade ones over at the Stop and Shop, so wifey bought one.
Nice. Yeah, I get them from Sheetz. They call them gobs, and they got Sheetz. Peanut butter filling ones.
Oh, I love Sheetz. I'm so fucking jealous you have a Sheetz.
I got like 3 Sheetz within like 20 minutes of me.
My ex's dad lived outside of Pittsburgh, and when we went out there for vacation, he had a Sheetz, like, he lived off the main road, and, like, every morning I'd walk the Sheetz. Phil, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Why are you eating stuffed pretzel for? I said, because it's Sheetz, and they would sell, like, Pittsburgh Pirates gear in there, like, terrible towels and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is awesome, dude. They sell their gear at every spot. You can go into a drugstore and buy a Pittsburgh Steelers hat or terrible towel. I love Pittsburgh. I almost moved there. It's a great fucking sports town. I named my Stratomatic team the Port Richmond Pirates.
There you go.
I have all Pirates gear. I have a Pirates hat. I got a fucking Chris Espo's wife made me a cigar box with all the logos and stuff on them. Carry all my stuff in. Yeah.
Just Google whoopie pie. You'll see what it is.
Yeah, whoopie pie.
Yeah, you know what? I was sitting there today, and I just happened to just tweet. I saw I was at Gable and Jordan. Why the hell are there no Ready, Willing, and Gable towels for sale in the shop?
Yeah.
I'd buy one.
Yeah, man. I have playoff towels from all the sports teams. You know, like I have World Series towels from last year. Tank just gave me a Long Island Ducks rally towel. So I like towel. I like to collect those. My one boss, she's a Ranger ticket holder for like 20 years. Every time there's a Ranger playoff game, she gets me a towel.
Nice.
I can't afford to pay attention to go to a game. It's mad expensive to go to a hockey game right now, man.
I bet.
Crazy expensive. So anyway, all right. I'm not apologizing for my outburst before. I'm just gonna let you all know that I need to get that off my chest, and I saved it for tonight. So. If I offended anybody, let me know. We'll talk it out, and I'll give you my point of view. Until then, it is what it is. All right, are you ready for the throwback of the week?
I'm ready for the throwback.
All right, let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Also sponsored by Whoopie Pie and Stop and Shop.
Sheets,
gobs. Right? You get peanut butter ones, you lucky bastard?
Yeah, they got all kinds in there.
That's crazy.
I go there every morning, 2 bacon, egg, and cheese burritos, please.
Oh, Jesus. Every morning, huh?
Yeah. Well, Monday through Friday, but it's just about.
Scott, poor Scott's colon.
Yeah. It's clean, though.
Obviously, if you eat fucking burritos from Sheets.
They're pre-made. You stick them in a microwave.
I'm aware. Cool. I have 7-Eleven over here. I like the little
taquitos.
No, them, and they have the these little breakfast empanadas.
Ooh,
yeah, they're like little mini empanadas with bacon, egg, and cheese in them and stuff like that. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So now, of course, we got inspired this week from last week's events. The passing of the great Muhammad Ali. And that was another thing on fucking Twitter, too. Somebody tweeted me, hey, Phil, you know he was against interracial marriage, right? Again, like, I don't care what his political views were, his religious views were. I don't care. He wasn't a bigot. He wasn't racist. The man was a visionary. The guy fought against his country. So he didn't have to kill people. He didn't want to go to war and kill the people. This wasn't his bag, you know? And it was like, you know, I get, like, just people just looking to troll. Like, come on, man. You want to point out that he had a, like, my wife gave me an article from the New York Times and how Ali had, like, a couple of gumas on the side. A guma is a girlfriend in Italian. A girl on the side is what a guma is. If I'm sorry, I'm talking like I'm like. See, Scott knows what I'm talking about, but if
I know what you're talking about. It's what you call a side hoe today,
like, or the what do the kids call it, a side piece.
Yeah,
yeah. So back in the day, our uncles called them gumas or gumare. You know, hey, my gumare, I gotta go see my gumare. Meanwhile, he's got a wife and kid at home, right? Fucking scumbag. We all got relatives like that too.
Yep.
Moving right along, and the article didn't really dog him, but just pointed out that even though he was an activist and he was a humanitarian, all sort of stuff, he did have flaws. And you're right, Pastor. He changed his philosophy along the same time Malcolm X did. And I think that was almost necessary. And I'm not going to get into why he did it, but at that point in the game, he was so far into his celebrity gimmick that this guy could do anything. He could sell anything, you know? He was that famous. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he was an amazing human being. I know a lot of wrestlers were posting pictures of him and of them and Ali. I know a lot of wrestling announcers took pictures with him. Of course, you know, like Scott mentioned tonight on the phone, he's like, you know, he was, I mean, we can get into it too, but he was a part of the very first WrestleMania, which, you know, we're going to go into what happened before WrestleMania, but he was at WrestleMania. Like, he started it all.
Yeah.
You know, the celebrity thing anyway. Him, Billy Martin, you know. But, you know.
Liberace.
My brother George was here. Did you see that Candelabra movie on HBO?
No.
Dude, you have to see it. Michael Douglas is Liberace. It is the funniest thing you're ever going to see. It's a good movie, but he talks like them and everything else.
Yeah, I got my weekend entertainment lined up because Voltron came out on Netflix.
I watched
today,
the first. Oh, I didn't tell you on the phone. I watched the first episode today.
How is it?
While I'm in the doctor's office, it was good.
Good.
Yeah, they didn't really go away from the original.
Good.
They give you the origin story of how to get the lions back.
Did it have Sven?
I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Watch it. Just watch it, and it's. You know, again, it's a little twisty, but the way they do it is fresh. And the first one's like over a little over an hour or so.
Okay.
But I forgot to tell you that on the phone. We would still be talking about, you know, our friend passing and our friends passing and all the shit we talk about. Anyway, so getting back to Muhammad Ali. I don't want to make this about Muhammad Ali per se, but I just want to remind people that who are under the age of 35, and this is for you, Marks, you know, take notes. Muhammad Ali was the original promo cutter. Muhammad Ali was one of the first sports entertainers. If it wasn't for guys like Muhammad Ali, Vince McMahon would have nothing. Vince McMahon took his dad's carny, folky, gimmicky Capital Wrestling joint and made it made it what it is today because of guys like Muhammad Ali.
He turned the carnival into the circus.
Right. Right, he did. And this is, you know, and the impact that he had on the business that we love so much is set in stone forever. We're going to go back to the mid-70s. And at this point, Ali was well into the game, you know.
This is one of the oldest throwbacks we've done, or you have done.
Yeah, I've done earlier.
Yeah, I know you covered Bobo Brazil back in the 60s.
We did Bobo Brazil. We did Mid-Atlantic. We did Portland. But, you know, You got to understand something. 15 years in now, I know Vince Sr. reformed Capital Wrestling in like the early 60s into the WWF, right? And, you know, he had guys coming in and out of there. And this is before Vince was cherry picking. This is like, you know, territory shit, you know? So, you know, around the early 60s, there was a guy by the name of Gino Morella. You guys know better as Gorilla Monsoon. Now, Gorilla Monsoon was a babyface wrestler, Gorilla Monsoon was also 6'5" and weighed 300 and something pounds at the time. And he was a standout collegiate wrestler upstate New York. And he was a babyface. And he would sing, he would do like the Nikolai Volkov gimmick, but in Italian. You know? And if you watch the old Ventura Gorilla Monsoon WWF matches that they called, once in a while, if you noticed, I know Scott noticed it, Ventura would sneak in and call him Gino.
Yes, every so often.
Right. And it totally, and you know, he was, and then he went heel, grew his beard out, not as big as Scott's, but he grew his beard out and called himself Gorilla Monsoon. And he was from, they had him from Manchuria. Born on an isolated farm, Gorilla Monsoon traveled across the country with a gypsy caravan of wrestling bears and spoke no English, and he ate raw meat and drank his victim's blood. And this is the story that was given by his first manager, Bob Davis. Claimed that he had discovered Monsoon in Manchuria wallowing nude in a mountain stream. I'm telling you, this is what happened. Monsoon killed his opponents, not just devastated them, dominated them, killed them with vicious chops, had the big splash, and of course his signature move was the airplane spin. But this is where Monsoon gets the spot. He gets a title shot in Jersey City in October of 63 against then champion, new champion, by the way, Bruno Sammartino. Now, Gorilla qualified by winning a Ring Magazine tournament fucking thing. He beat some other dude in like a minute. And Monsoon's disqualification match win over Sammartino. He beat Sammartino in Jersey by DQ. You never got a win over Bruno Sammartino back then. Never. Bruno and Andre seldom lost around that time. Never. Of course, I got several rematches in Madison Square Garden. Picked up the feud, dude, 4 years later. Chairs. Broken chairs, busted backs, fist fights, the whole nine yards. So, Gorilla Monsoon, at that point, was a staple. Like, that was it. Soon as he had his moment with Bruno, that put him over the top. Funny that this all happens now. Now you're moving into the 70s. And the 70s was a weird time for wrestling. Weird. Especially
the transition.
Yeah. Territories were still around. Local TV you could find, but nothing cable yet. You know, cable was almost there. We were like going back into the 70s now. And Ali was doing his thing. Now, Ali was on a promo tour. Like a legit promo tour. He would go around to these different towns in wrestling, sit in the front row, and whoever the big heel was, he would, you know, jaw jack the heel from ringside like they do now, you know. Like they do it. What's that?
Correct me. Wasn't he getting ready for his Antonio Inoki match? I was
just about to get into that.
Okay.
So he goes around to this tour, and he sits ringside, and like I said, he jaw jacks with the heel. He goes into the ring and pretends to knock the heel out. You know? So he does this consecutively for a couple of towns. And it caught the eye of the Planet. And when I say the Planet, I mean Japan. Now, they want to fight him. So what do? They set up a famous match between Muhammad Ali and the great Antonio Inoki, the Hall of Famer Antonio Inoki. This was going to be like a boxing hybrid wrestling match, and it was covered by every sports outlet on the planet.
Some people call it the first MMA match.
So now, while this is going on, okay, Ali's doing more and more press, you know, and he's, again, jaw-jacking. And, you know, the promoters were making sure that they pulled him in, and they made sure that he, you know, would make sure he would get over. But on June 2nd, 1976, that didn't happen. Now, let me paint this picture for you. In 1969, Monsoon turned babyface again and teamed up with San Martino against Luke Graham, setting a bunch of feuds with him and even superstar Billy Graham. He turned heel again. It's like Big Show heel. Heel, heel, face, heel, face. He turned heel again and feuded with Andre and boxed Andre in Puerto Rico. Monsoon, who owned the territory or a piece of the territory in Puerto Rico, put Andre over. And that, again made him a big star in the 70s because he came back to the Garden and fought guys like fucking Ernie Ladd and Killer Kowalski, all these big heels. So he kept evolving. Even though he changed, he turned face and heel, I say it like Big Show jokingly, but it meant something because it always carried something over. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So now he's over. June 2nd, 1976, in the Philadelphia Spectrum, the city of brotherly love. Shout out to the Midnight Jury in Philly, our brothers and sister. Philly's a great town. I hate the fans. I love the town. I love the food. I'll be there in July for a little tailgate joint, little gimmick for the Phillies and Mets. I love it. So he's now Ali is preparing for his crossover match with Antonio Inoki. Like Scott said, it was pretty much, dude, you want to say the birth of MMA?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been argued. There's articles about it. You can read about it. You know, so Monsoon had a match with Baron Michael Cicluna, another major heel. You know. So you want to get into this now? You want to get into what happened?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You have anything you want to add? Or am I talking too much?
You got it all. Just go ahead. This is all you, man.
Yeah. Okay. So where the hell was I?
Going into the match.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. So he had a match with Baron Cicluna. And who's at ringside jawjacking? Fucking Ali. So Monsoon leads over now. Again, the promoter had this set up. So they thought. Keep this in mind while I'm telling you the story. Jumps in the ring. Ali removes his shirt and starts dancing around. Right? Monsoon wants nothing of it. And you could see Gorilla's pissed. Now, people say, well, he looks pissed because that was his character. Yeah, but you could tell when someone's acting and they're not acting. He looked pretty pissed that Ali not only intervened in the match, but now he's gesturing, throwing jabs at him.
And do you remember the Ali G show?
Of course, I own the Ali G show. Okay. I own both seasons.
So you might remember this skit. Borat went into like a dojo.
Yes, of course.
With the Jew claw.
Yes, of course.
And he's like, you just knock it away. Now Ali is throwing jabs at Monsoon, and Monsoon is just swatting it away. Like, what the fuck are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
Monsoon,
just like, yeah. Knock it away.
Monsoon himself, an established amateur athlete, amateur boxer, has already boxed in wrestling matches before. Okay? Right? So now, yeah. Monsoon responds by grabbing Ali, legit, picking him up, putting him into the airplane spin position, and slammed him to the mat. Now, Vince McMahon is, you know,
on the call,
and there's been speculation that none of it was a work. The only thing that was a work was Ali instigating the heel, going in and throwing some jabs, and then getting separated by like a promoter or something like that, or he would knock out the heel. Obviously, Monsoon twice his size, he wasn't knocking Monsoon out.
No.
And he held on to that airplane spin a bit longer than he normally did. If you watch Gorilla Monsoon's matches, and there's a few of them online, he doesn't let it go right away. Now, people have said that, you know, he did it, you know, for the publicity, that he just kept him up there long enough just to put him over. But when you talk to people that were either there, or you read stuff from people that were there, or you read from other wrestlers that believed, and Monsoon would never talk about it. Now, whether it was Monsoon not wanting to break kayfabe, because a lot of wrestlers back then, they didn't break kayfabe. Right. Back then, heels didn't travel with the faces. Heels didn't hang out in public like they do now with the faces. Heels had their own locker room. The faces had their own locker room. Like, you know, you weren't seen with guys. If you wore a mask, you wore it in public. You know? Like, it was that kind of kayfabe.
Yeah, like, you remember at the Garden, good guys would come out on the right, bad guys on the left. They had their own walkways and entrances.
I remember going to a match one night in the late 80s, early 90s, and Owen Hart was still the Blue Blazer. And I didn't really know who Owen Hart was. I mean, I knew Owen Hart was from Stampede, but I didn't really read about him in a magazine, but I didn't really, like, you know, read about him. I didn't put two and two together at that point. Excuse me. But, like, he came out on 8th Avenue with a mask. You know?
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, but that's what happens. No one, you know, they asked, I mean, no one would reveal the incident, that if that part was a work or not. And when I interviewed Monsoon, he was like, I never saw him before and I haven't seen him since. So that part, I don't think. Now, Gorilla Monsoon, I'm sure saw Muhammad Ali, because everybody did. He was the fucking champion. You know, he Thrill in Manila, Ken Norton, Larry Holmes, you know, that kind of get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, hold on 1 second. Fucking Snapchat. Like, I don't care who's Snapchatting.
I'm so glad I don't have that shit.
Yeah, I might. I was gonna do. I did it for the show, but I might delete it. Anyway. I watched this clip. It's only like a 3-minute clip, over and over and over again. And I was like, you know, I want more to it. You know, there's got to be more to it. But there wasn't. Yep. And I feel like Monsoon took liberties with Ali the same way Piper did with Mr. T.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does, and I agree with you. I think it was a straight shoot. I think Monsoon wanted nothing to do with it. It was forced upon him, and he just did it to make a statement. Like, just keep these guys away from me. I'm here to wrestle. I'm not here to be your fucking sideshow.
I know they're playing. I know Japan is replaying the Ali Inoki fight. I don't know if it'll be on New Japan World, but I know they're playing it on Japan television because there was a press release.
Greg actually just looked for it on New Japan World, and he said it's not there.
Oh, okay. So I don't know if it's going to be. I know one of the Japanese sites, one of the Pure South sites I'm a part of, they posted it, and I translated it in Google, and they said they're going to be playing it this weekend. You know, but you. And I was so glad that I was part of this as a kid, too. Like, you know, and you were, too. And I know guys like Pastor Stell were, too, because he's our age. Like, where there was no internet and there was no cable TV at that point. Well, there was, but it was infancy. And you didn't have dirt sheets yet, but you had that, the tapings of the weekend shows. And then you had the anticipation of what's going to happen next. You know, I mean, you get older, you catch on, you predict what's going to happen, and, you know, you're still not disappointed, you know, for a good 5 or 8 years, you have this thing where I had this thing where I didn't watch the spoilers for SmackDown when Paul Lee was running it.
Right.
I was like, yo, that's a wrap, because I didn't want to be disappointed. Thank you, Goblin, by the way. I just saw putting up in the chat room there. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated to you. But you, can you imagine sitting there and at that night in the Philadelphia Spectrum, seeing that?
It would have been once in a lifetime. There's nothing else to describe it. It's just a moment that if he were there, great. It's like Game 7 of the World Series and catching that home run ball to win that series.
Right.
You know, in the bottom of the ninth, it's just one of those things that you never think it's going to happen, but you're there to see it, and that's a ticket stub you save, because that's the only way to prove that you saw it, because, like you said, it probably wasn't seen again for years, the footage, you know, out in public until the internet came around and somebody posted it.
I didn't see this footage until WWE had the on-demand service.
There you go.
And that was a couple years ago.
2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It came out.
Yeah. So I knew of it. I saw pictures of it. I saw the only pictures I saw was like the airplane spin or whatever. But and now let's play devil's advocate, Scott. Let's say it was a work, right?
Right.
Can you imagine the conversations that were going on? Like, listen, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to throw you around. And, like, Ali taking a bump like that, considering his career and where he was going, what he was doing at that time of his career?
I know. You know, how do you put the, how does a champ put himself in that position to take that bump? Did he work with him beforehand? Was it, you know, did he train to take? It's airplane spin, fine. You put down, you fall into the corner, and you stand there, you get your balance. But, you know, the slam, you got to know how to land. You got to know, you know, Gorilla didn't put him down gently either.
No. Gorilla Monsoon took liberties with Muhammad Ali. Legit. Anybody who debates me on that is losing their minds. Delusional. Even if it was a work. Even if it was a work and Ali knew he was getting a bump, Gorilla still took liberties with him. Because these guys were afraid of losing their spot by these fucking real life athletes. You know? It ain't like when Big Show told Floyd Mayweather to punch, you know, break my face.
Right.
You know, which I thought was cool that Big Show would do that. However, like, it was, there was no liberties taken. Like, Mayweather didn't overstep. He took his shots and ran. That was it. You know, Piper and Mr. T was totally different, though. Piper didn't like Mr. T.
No.
Piper said, I don't like you. And when I do these spots with you, when I invade your space, when I come onto your movie sets, when I do promos and interviews with you, I'm going to take liberties with you. I don't want you in my... You don't belong here. Because these wrestlers have that carnival mentality where, you know, if you're in the carnival, you're in the circus, and somebody comes along with a better act, you're not coming back the next day.
Right.
So that's... You know, it's so profound, and really, I got the idea because of Ali passing away, not tragically, because he was sick for like 30 years.
Yeah,
people don't notice. Muhammad Ali had his last fight in 1981, I believe, without looking on the internet, on the webs, right? And I think he was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 84.
I believe it was 84, yeah. So right? 32 years.
Right, so he's been sick for 32 years, okay? So it wasn't tragic. However, he was such a profound guy, the character, the man, you know, the legacy that he left, the stance he took at a time where you really needed a hero. He was a hero to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, go ahead.
I would say he also, in 85, he got into with Jake Roberts in a match.
Mid-South.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead. Finish the story.
You know, Ali was at ringside, much like he was doing then, back then, you know. He came out and Jake Roberts didn't like it. So, you know, Jake Roberts, like, I don't even know who the guy was at ringside, but, you know, he tripped the guy Jake Roberts was fighting and Ali started chasing him around the ring. So Ali jumps on the ring apron, Jake gets in his face and gets two solid rights to the jaw. You know, they had to separate them. So he got into it with, you know, besides being at WrestleMania, he also got into it with Jake Robinson, Mid-South. So he's been, you know, he's had a lot to do with wrestling over the years. You know, like you said, WrestleMania, he was there for the inauguration. He set it straight. You know, he even knocked someone out at WrestleMania being a guest referee on the outside.
He's dope.
Yeah, Ali was the greatest boxer of all time. You know, I'm going to say, you know, people argue, but he never fought Dempsey. You know what? And we'll never know if he ever would, what would have happened. I think he would have beat Dempsey in five.
It's the same thing, man. Like, listen, the fights he had with Ken Norton, like, he didn't win some of those fights, and he did. Like, he won those fights. Like, he wasn't the greatest boxer of all time. By no means. You want to compare him to guys like Joe Louis and you know, Dempsey and you know, those kind of guys. You know, you can. But he wasn't the greatest fighter. He was the greatest entertainer. Like, he was the fucking James Brown and Rock of boxing. It was a spectacle every way he went. You know, and then, like, the guy didn't want to go to war and kill people, so he converted to Muslim. You know, and people were disrespected by that. But you know what? If that was the only way he could save himself from going over to Vietnam and either getting killed or killing people or both, you know,
he was larger than life. That's the best way to describe him, I think. Everywhere he went, people knew who he was. Young, old, he was. Everybody knew Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, he really didn't do a lot with wrestling, Greg. He's telling us we should do like an Ali in wrestling.
I think we just did. I think we hit on the three main things he's done did in wrestling.
Yeah, he didn't really do much after that, except he did box Superman in the comic books, which is worth a lot of money now. I want that book. Actually,
so. Ali would talk you out of your game.
Yeah. You know. But anyway, getting back to the man. You know, and I just found that anything that I saw about him, I was mesmerized by. Anything. Like, if I read an article, or I saw a statue, or I saw his an autobiography on history or whatever. I saw a bunch of shit. Anything, even watching his daughter, like when his daughter would talk shit, like it's just like you could see like the resemblance, and you could see the what she was doing in the ring. She was like, I just want to emulate my dad, you know?
Yeah.
And she wasn't as flashy as he was or as entertaining, but you saw that influence that he had on her.
Oh yeah.
Now, Gorilla Monsoon was my everything for the first couple of years of my young life watching wrestling. Gorilla Monsoon called matches, and whether it was with Ventura or Lord Alfred Hayes or some of the Garden shows.
Sean Mooney.
Well, yeah, Sean, but Mean Gene called matches with him.
Yeah. I think to this day, Monsoon and Heenan.
And, of course, Bobby Heenan. Yeah, I was getting to that, yeah.
On my favorite announced team with him and Ventura second.
So, you know, Gorilla Monsoon was the ultimate king of the kayfabe. Like, he made you believe that he knew about anatomy and physiology.
He's going to tear his collateral ligament, right. Jesse.
He made you believe that he hated his partner, whoever he broadcasted with.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they were the best of friends. You know, he made you believe that if you got in his face at 400 pounds, he would get up and slap the shit out of you.
I believe.
Which he probably has done off camera. And for me, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Like, Gorilla Monsoon for me did no wrong. And this is before I found Gordon Solie, and I found Jim Ross, and, you know, guys like that, Bob Cottle, and, you know, this was before all that shit.
My soup play.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I got it.
No, no, you're right. You're right. It's a he hit him with a souple. I'm working on my Gordon Solie, by the way. I'm working on it. For the show, of course.
Yeah. One of the saddest moments in wrestling ever that I've seen was when Heenan was given that speech and he said, "The only thing I want is Monsoon to be here."
Yeah.
That was.
And you got choked up, right?
Yeah,
of course.
I'm getting chills just saying that right now.
Right, because these guys based, I mean, they were around each other 300 days a year, man. They're your family, you know?
Yeah.
Like at work, I had an argument with a coworker, and I was like, you know, I see you fucking people more than I see my family. I gave it a whole teamwork speech. I'm like, I don't have to like you to fucking work with you, but, you know, because I'm here fucking 10 hours a day with you sorry people, you know, we work together. And these guys didn't hate each other, but they worked together, and it was the same concept. You know, you see these guys more than you see your families. And the camaraderie that's built, relationships, lifelong relationships, their kids grow up together. It's like it's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
I found that this was the beginning of sports entertainment. I feel like this was the crossover where Vince was getting enough ammunition to take the company from his dad, to take all the old cronies that Vince Sr. had, and then get some new blood in there and start booking matches his way. Where him seeing the vision of crossovers and celebrities and big cameras, big lights, national touring, and then, of course, cable television, which was the plan of action, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because, 8 years later he started the celebrities?
Yeah.
9 years later?
Yeah, WrestleMania.
You had the whole rock and wrestling connection.
Hey, that's 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking just, that was it. That was the stamp of approval. But we mentioned that on one of our shows, that was the start of sports entertainment. But I think this was the prelude. I think Ali doing the thing with Inoki and doing the thing with Gorilla Monsoon and Jake Roberts and everybody else and Boxing Superman was the crossover, the prelude to the greatness that was Muhammad Ali, that was sports entertainment. You can't put a price on that, man. To this day, that's going to entertain you forever.
Yeah.
You know? But even though it was like a 3-minute clip and that was it.
And even today, Ali has the influence on professional wrestling with Nakamura.
The Rock. Ric Flair. Dusty Rhodes. You don't think Dusty Rhodes coming up was watching Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
Listen to that promo I played today.
Yeah.
The Heartbreaker, the Record Breaker. He called himself the Rat Master. He said the Bullet of Wood, if you will. If I did something bad to women, you know, I want to see papers. I want to see proof, if you will. But all joking aside, I think this was like one of those moment in times where it just everything stood still. I'm sure it was all over newspapers and magazines and like, oh, that wrestling, yuck, yuck, yuck. You know, because wrestling was still a joke back then. It was still corny. It was still fucking yucking it up. No one took it seriously until they brought it out to TV. You know, like, oh, wow, this is good. So it was always a fucking attraction, never a sport. Meanwhile, you know it's a sport. People break their necks out there to entertain us.
Yes. And that's why you should never chant this is boring, because they put their lives on out there at risk for you.
Fucking kids don't care, dude. They don't care. These fucking marks in their mom's houses on their computers. Doing their YouTube videos and making their own podcasts now, talking about, I know about so-and-so. Nah, you really don't. Same way I don't know about fucking the old Bruno matches, or same way I don't know about Carl Gotch or, you know, Johnny Weaver, all those guys. I don't know because I wasn't around for that.
Right.
Same way I wasn't around for that, you guys could never grasp on how amazing it was to be there, to be a part of it, to grow up with it. You want to watch it on the network, fine. You know, you want to talk about it on your mediums and your outlets, fine. You're very much entitled to it. But I take it a little more personally because I lived it. Like, you lived it. We lived it as kids. It was a part. Wrestling was a part of our everyday lives as kids without the internet, without anything else. It was more mainstream than it was now. Even with the Attitude Era the way it was, you know. But either way.
Yeah, Pastor. I would definitely say some preachers and pastors and priests use Ali Stala with their, with, you know, the way they go out there and do their sermons.
I think if you can, and Pastor can attest to this, if you could have a platform like that, preaching that style, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you can tell people the word of God, let's say, right, whatever God, whatever religion it is, and you have a platform and you're cutting it like Ali and you're hitting all your points, you might be the you might be getting more in that collection plate that day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want the public, if you will, to respect the lineage. I want the public to respect what, you know, came before them. Because if it wasn't for any of that, you wouldn't have the WWE Network. You wouldn't have NXT. You wouldn't have anything like this. Anything.
We couldn't make fun of TNA.
No. No.
Yeah, Zayday, I remember those days, too, crowding around floor model TVs to watch a big event.
So, that's where I am tonight. And it was just one match. It was just one that wasn't even a match. It was an altercation. And we just turned 30 minutes. We just turned a three-minute altercation into a 30-minute, into a 40-minute.
45-minute conversation. Yeah.
Guys, I really hope you enjoyed this tonight. This one hits home for me.
Yeah.
And when I told Scott I wanted to do it, he was all about it right instantaneously. Like, I'm going to do this next week. He's like, we're doing it. And I had something else in mind. But we're going to put down the back burner because we have a big show for you next week. Scott's going to talk about that.
One thing before we head into that. We did mention on the phone, but we didn't bring it up. Gordie Howe passed away today at 88. Mr. Hockey, the legend, the greatest in his sport ever.
Wayne Gretzky was great. Gordie Howe was the greatest. Gordie Howe played hockey for 40 years. He played from 1946 to 1981.
He played in six decades. He played, you know, he would do one-day contracts, come out on the ice, take a drop, get off the ice just to play a game. He played in hockey in six decades. In the 70s, he went out and signed with the Red Wings to play for 2 minutes.
Played baseball in the summertime in Saskatchewan, Canada, where he's from. Gordie Howe was Mr. When you're nicknamed Mr. Hockey, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good. I was blessed to have seen him play for the 30 seconds on the ice. I was also not so blessed to have his sons beat us up when they were with the Flyers and the Whalers, respectively. So, rest in peace, Mr. Hockey. Everybody knows I'm a big hockey mark. Big baseball mark, too, obviously. But, yeah, Mr. Hockey, 88 years old, part of the original six. They only played 70 games back then, too.
Yeah.
So, when you had the original six and you played 70 games, you played those guys 14 times. So, can you imagine fucking Red Wings against the Blackhawks, Rangers, Maple Leafs, Canadians, Bruins. Like, it was to be constant old-time hockey. Constant for 70 games. Dope, right?
Just I would have loved to live and watch that era.
Just thinking about it gets my tits tingling, you know? So, all right. So we're going to start pulling this train in?
Yes, we will.
All right, so get into what you got to get into, and then we'll do our plugs. So
tomorrow night? Oh. No. Well, I was going to do it at the end of the plugs, but yeah.
Why don't you do it before the plugs, so you can get out of the way.
So next week, Phil has a pre-engagement. He's got tickets to go see the Coney Island Mets. I don't know the name of that team.
The Brooklyn Cyclones. I had these tickets. Yeah, I got these tickets before Scott came onto the show.
Yeah.
But
so he's
But it's your birthday. It's your birthday. So what do you want to do?
It's my birthday. So we got together. Next week is going to be special because Phil will be joining us after the game.
Yes.
I will be kicking off the show with the news with Double A running the board. We're going to do the first half of the show as normal with news. Me and Double A will discuss it. And then we're going to kick it back after the break with open mic and the birthday celebration begins. It's going to be BYOB, bring your own beer, bring your own blunts if that's what you're into. And Pastor, bring your own Bible, baby.
Yeah. BYOB, open mic night, Kid Human's birthday bash. We'll do a little invite on Facebook, invite everybody.
Yeah.
And then I'll join you guys afterwards when I get back from Brooklyn. Because, again, it's my boys are opening up. It's open at night. We go all the time. And I bought these tickets. I got these tickets right before the other guy that was here announced he was leaving. So, that's how long I've had these tickets. So, plus it's a family thing. We do this every year. So I got
tell them the deal you got. That's the best part.
Oh, the deal was it was abnormally warm this day, right, in the wintertime. So they said whatever the weather is that day is how much you're going to pay for your tickets. So normally you pay like between $10 and $15 for a ticket because, you know, minor league baseball is cheap. But it was 67 degrees that day, so we got it for $6.70. Best part is, too, I went and bought three tickets, my wife for her and my son and myself, and then my wife didn't know I bought tickets, and she bought three tickets. So we got six tickets, and we're probably going to take some family and friends with us, so... But I will be back for Kid Human's birthday. I don't know what time I'm getting in, but either way, I'll be there hanging and banging with my boy and all of you. I hope you guys can all join us for a very special episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Kid Human's taking over the show. It's a big night for him. And, yes. You know, just please, guys, come out for him and support us and support him. So, all right. Anything else before we get into our plugs?
No, that should be about it. That's all the news on I got. All
right,
nothing broke during the show unless Twitter just updated something.
Nah, man, I don't think so.
Nope.
So, okay, man, do you think?
All right. So tomorrow night, join. I don't know if there'll be a show tomorrow night. There might be. Will Morgan with the wrestling call-in show, 11 p.m. I know he's got a Girl Scout thing. It was up in the air whether he was going to do it, but tune in anyway. Listen to the old shows. Then we have on Sunday the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb at 5 p.m. Monday night, right after Raw, join Rick Dara, Jen, and Mick Wrestling for Talk Brunch. They'll break down the week in wrestling. They'll break down Monday Night Raw and whatever else is going on in the world. Tuesday night, your 2 for Tuesday doubleheader with The Rant at 8 p.m. with Double A and Tony C., followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks, and yes, it will be Double A as host of the show with Rage as co-host.
Oh boy, I got Rage tomorrow night, and Rob from Thumbstick Ninjas at Choppy's wedding at the same table.
Oh nice!
It's gonna be fucking bananas. Go ahead.
Wednesday night, speaking of those Thumbstick Ninjas, they're back with a new episode.
Hell yeah!
Is it 8 p.m.?
Believe so.
8 p.m. You'll hear the new episode of Thumbstick Ninjas. Thursday night, join the Rant and Wrestling crew. Mofo, Magic, Pootie, Doomsday, Scooby, Shaggy, Velma, Fred, and Daphne will be there too. And,
I love you, Scott.
Remember. And that's how I'm going to be talking at the end of next week's birthday bash on Friday.
You know what I'm going to do just for you, brother? When I go on Surf Avenue on a boardwalk, when I leave Coney Island?
What's that?
I'm going to stop at a bodega and get a 40.
There you go. Old English.
That's it.
My father-in-law was like, I found this really cheap stuff at the store, and I bought it, and it really made me really sick. I was like, what'd you buy? He's like, it was $3.60 for 40 ounces. He's like, you buy that Steel Reserve shit? He's like, yeah.
Oh.
He's like, it made me really sick.
Oh, yeah. He reserved his abdomen for something else.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Yep. So that's the week in news and wrestling. And any other specials coming up?
June 19th, Money in the Bank pre-show. Who's doing that?
Double A hasn't decided. He said he will probably do it, but he was up in the air.
If not, it'll probably be Rick, or if Rick don't do it, it'll probably be me and Scott. Somebody will do Money in the Bank.
Yeah, we'll get a pre-show, post-show going on.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. Just stick around. Listen to Rant EM Radio. Go to rantemradio.com. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com. All of our back catalog is there as well. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Geek Life Radio, Google Play. Don't forget that. And support the Shining Wizards Network. Go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Shout out to them. Our boys over at Midnight Jury, WLW Studios, Handsome Dan and all those kids. Stubbs, the sports show, I like that too. They got a lot of good stuff going on, man. Don't forget, and Greg's got his Shell, what was that, Shell Pod?
Shell Shock.
Shell Shock, he's got a group of shows on that too. So go support him.
Turtle Soup, I think it's called.
Turtle Soup, yeah. Of course, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Old School Wrestling Podcast. Support all those guys, man. Support Geeks of the Industry, Chunky Larry, and our boy Phil. They do the Creature Features. It's a good podcast about horror movie, about monster movies. It's pretty dope. There's so many podcasts and people I love to support. Kevin Gill, of course, a bunch of people. If I don't mention you guys every week, I'm sorry. But mainly Brant EM Radio and Shining Wizards Network. That's our crew. So, without any further ado,
I just got one more thing to say.
Oh yes, please.
Choppy, it's 11:15 the night before you're getting married. The fuck you doing liking shit on Facebook? Yeah. You should be at a bachelor party, bro.
I think he did his already.
Oh, did he?
He most certainly did. I couldn't go, but he did. He did his party already. Choppy. All right. Choppy, I love you, brother. I can't wait to celebrate with you tomorrow. Expect some live video on Facebook.
Choppy, congratulations. Again, best of happiness to you and Bree.
Yeah, if you guys are friends with Choppy on Facebook or on our page, Choppy's on our page. You'll show him some love. He's a good kid, man. He's a solid individual. He's a good human being. And he has a good heart. He's a good soul, and I'm happy for him. So I'm glad we get to celebrate that stuff with him. And I'm going to make sure you guys will see it tomorrow. While we fucking get obliterated 8 minutes from the place is 8 minutes from my house. I'm getting fucking lit up tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Damn.
maybe I'll do a run-in tomorrow on a call-in show at Rage. We'll come back. We'll drink.
There you go. But
anyway, is that it? Or are we good?
I'm good here.
All right. So on behalf of the Kid Human, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding all of you, please take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word. Be kind to animals. Go hug your mom or your parent. Go hug somebody that loves you. Because life is too short, man, way too short. And until next week, same bad time, same bad channel. Don't forget, next week, big show. We'll see you guys next week. God bless. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.